Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So on this episode of the Paracast, we're going to start by taking a journey through time. Now, before we do that, I was thinking maybe I would get a time machine kind of sound. Unfortunately, oh, yeah. The TARDIS sound is copyrighted. Therefore, we can't make it like a TARDIS. As they say, imagine we're back in the early 1970s, and I am co-editor of a magazine called Caveat Emptor, and with my first wife, Geneva, and one of our writers for this magazine, Caveat Emptor, was Dennis Stamey, a fellow at that time he was living in North Carolina, as I recall, and then after a couple of articles, he stopped writing and perhaps pursued things elsewhere. And then, not more than a few months ago, I get a message out of the blue on Facebook. It's him. After 50 years. I guess therein lies a tale. The other thing, of course, is that among all the other things he's done, he's retained his interest in the world of the paranormal, and he's written some books, one of which we'll be talking about here, called Mysterious Snipers, Slashers, and Animal Rippers. I was going to say rippers like that with the R thing, but, you know, I don't want to sound too exclusive. A History of Paranormal Assailants. As written by Dennis and two of his kids, Jillian and Jesse. Dennis, welcome to the Paracast. It's actually the first time you and I have ever talked. Is that correct?
That's true, yeah. Right.
Okay, so I was wondering here, how do you hoodwink your kids to helping you write a book?
I'll tell you how it came about. Okay, I've been writing fiction. I wrote about 15 books. You know, they're on Amazon Kindle. And so I was cleaning out the garage one day, and I found a box full of photocopies, microfilm, of letters from libraries, photocopies, and so forth, which I thought was long gone. And I remember that I was researching phantom attacks, phantom assailants. And here it is. So I, my kids and I started cataloging this stuff. I said, well, let me write a book, which I think was my original intention, what, 1980? And so I wrote the book. It took me about a year. And one problem was I kind of went off the deep end. I wanted to, at first, just present these stories. And then I went off the deep end and started theorizing about what could be the cause behind it. And that's where I got off the deep end. And I started talking, writing about UFOs. And so I have a terrible review, apparently from a ufologist, because he didn't like, I think his main problem was he didn't like the fact that I thought UFOs were not from space. I thought they were paranormal. I don't believe in Roswell. Don't believe in conspiracies of any sort. I'm a bit skeptical. And also I used referenced an article by Joe Nickel, who is anathema to ufology. He wrote an article about alien abductions. I agree with 100%. I think it's nothing but sleep paralysis. So so the book was written, 2 years ago? And Now, I was pleased with it at first. Now, looking back, probably because of this terrible review, I've had second thoughts. I wasn't done very well. I should have, gone off the deep end with it. But anything I'd like to ask?
You know, of course, it's not the first bad review that book writers get, as you probably know. I got a few of them. The problem, of course, happens not when someone says they don't like the book, because we expect some people will not like the book. The problem is when the person who says they didn't write the book, number one, lies about it, or number two, simply didn't read it, but for whatever reason has it out for you. And as you say, some people may not like the fact that your theory about the possible reality behind paranormal events may be different from others. And we'll get into that pretty much. But in looking at and preparing this book, why would you call them paranormal assailants?
Well, because, like with the Phantom Snipers, like in Boston, first they started shooting people with a .22, then they went over to car windows, and there were no suspects, nobody was seen. I mean, it was a perfect crime. Same with Camden Sniper. Well, there were some suspects with the Camden Sniper, but they were released that didn't have anything on them. And the same with these other sniper reports. Same with the Rippers, the slash clothes and people. I think initially something mysterious was going on, like the Ripper of, I wrote the book and I can't remember all the details. Where was he? Not Brighton. I know he struck in Manchester and a few other cities. But initially, yeah, it was mysterious, but then people were coming forth, women were coming forth to see, I've been slashed. You know, my clothes were slashed, I was cut. And they turned out to be hoaxers just trying to get some attention. But nobody was ever caught. In any of the Phantom Sniper cases, nobody was ever caught. Nobody was ever seen. Very mysterious. And it really started in the 20s. Over through the 40s, then you had the Windshield Sniper. He struck first in Bellingham, Washington. A month or two later, he went over to Canton, Ohio. He was hitting windshields, hitting streetlights. Then it stopped, and it went up, then it reoccurred in Washington. But a lot of these occurrences in Washington State could be mass delusion. Like I said, initially these reports start off as very mysterious. And then the hoaxers come along, the paranoia. The same with the mad gassers who struck in Butetort, Virginia, the 30s, and then 1944 in Illinois, Mattoon, Illinois, you know. But still, nobody was ever caught, nobody was ever seen. Very mysterious. And, jump in whenever.
Well, I'm just thinking here. Just the other day, I saw an episode of a former NBC TV show called Grimm, you know, about monsters in Portland, and this group of policemen, including one of whom is a Grimm, a character from folklore who goes out and looks for evil Vesson, which is some sort of creature. Of different types of creatures that can turn from into werewolves or into pig people and mouse people and things like that. And there was an episode there about someone committing crimes like Jack the Ripper. And it turns out the reason they can't find out who this person is because one of the characters in the show is possessed every so often by this spirit, this evil spirit, when he's asleep. There you go, paranormal assailant. Anyway, Dennis Thamy is joining us with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, I guess when people think of paranormal assailants, Dennis, we think about Jack the Ripper. And I was just mentioning how that character or whatever he was is an important part of fantasy fiction. Even Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, the TV show from the 90s, they featured a character who was like a Jack the Ripper kind of character. time after time, sci-fi film featuring the H.G. Wells character again, a Jack the Ripper. Did you explore much about Jack the Ripper in this book?
I used to read about the Ripper after watching an episode of Star Trek when I was a kid. No, the Ripper, I think the Ripper was a human. As a matter of fact, I think it was a sailor, because they saw a guy who looked like a sailor in the vicinity of Whitechapel during the time of the murders. Also, I have I lost it. It was in the Jack the Ripper Facebook. They had an article from London Times, I think, about a sailor who tried to cut a woman's throat. And he hid somewhere, and he was apprehended to let him go. This could have been the Ripper. I don't have that article. I wish I did. But, I think the Ripper was entirely human. Yeah, he was very stealthy. Never seen. Well, he was seen. A couple of guys saw somebody running off running away, then I found the victim. So I think he was entirely human. But I used to have a fascination with the Ripper, but I don't find anything paranormal about his activities, no. And
so what is it, Dennis, though? What is it that makes people so fascinated with a serial killer from the 19th century?
Yeah, I've wondered about that myself. Like I said, probably because he was so stealthy. He eluded the police dragnets. Of course, London, the Scotland Yard wasn't that bright at that time. They didn't have all the techniques, the forensics, to solve crimes like this. Plus, he's somehow wormed his way into literature, with Robert Bloch, short story. Here's truly Jack the Ripper. Robert Bloch went on to write the episode for Star Trek. He's been, like you said, he's been in fantasy literature. Harlan Ellison wrote a story about him. I don't know. He's just a strange, mysterious character who has fascinated fantasy and science fiction writers. I'm not sure what the appeal was, but I guess because he was so elusive. But these phantom snipers and these slashers, they don't slash, they don't kill people. They slash their clothes, slash their skin, but they're much more elusive. Because they do it in broad daylight, never get caught, are never seen. And but I have a theory about all this. I think we discussed my belief in the collective unconscious. I discussed this in my book also. I remember.
Yeah, I know we've had a little bit of chatting online and Facebook over collective unconscious. Does that mean that we are collectively manufacturing a serial killer?
Well, like I said, these people haven't, these phantoms haven't killed. Except, this is what I think. I had a paradigm shift recently. I no longer believe that it has anything to do with Carl Jung and his archetypes and his collective unconscious. I really don't believe anymore in Jung's collective unconscious. I believe in the archetypes. I believe these are templates that have been put in the human brain over the course of human development, probably to understand reality better. This has nothing to do with the paranormal. What I believe is happening is that there's a collective psyche, which is akin to the cosmic mind that the Eastern mystics talk about. Okay, in which all of our consciousness is attached. In other words, it is us, and we are it. I believe that there are five types of manifestations caused by the collective psyche. It's aerial, UFOs, mystery helicopters, the airships, whatever, strange lights, whatever. Terrestrial, the cryptids, which are sort of akin to the earth spirits, the elves, brownies, fairies, the wild men. The third are the tricksters, what I call the tricksters, phantom snipers, rippers, which are urban. Then we have the cattle mutilations, which are rural, but also there have been mutilations of cats and dogs. And I've seen pictures of mutilations of felines, and they're cut in half with surgical precision, like a lightsaber, just no blood or anything. It may be a logical explanation for the feline and dog mutilations, but it's quite odd. And, of course, I don't believe all the cattle mutilations are mysterious and are caused by predators, but there is some weird stuff going on. These cattle are being, you know, surgically, their insides, eyes, tongue are being almost surgically removed. No blood, no footprints around the site. There's a fourth cultural manifestations like the Marian apparitions of the Catholics seeing the Virgin Mary. And then there's personal phenomena, ghosts, alien abductions, spooks, whatever, shadow people. But the problem with the last category is that it could also involve tricks of the mind. Your subconscious can play tricks. But I believe that the collective psyche is more active now. It became more active when we became more introspective, which was what, in the 1890s, when we realized we're nothing but a cog in a wheel of industry. We were going from an agrarian society to an industrial age, and we became more reflective, became more self-aware, and this strengthened the collective psyche. So we started seeing airships in the sky in the 1890s. 1909, airship flaps again. 1913, mysterious zeppelins over England as we prepared for World War I. 1915, when the Battle of Verdun, millions were dying. Airships over, mystery planes over England, 1915, and Australia and New Zealand. I think Canada, 1918, shortly after the war. Again, more mysterious airplanes.
We're going to break from a few moments, Dennis. And we've got more to come to talk about
great,
strange things that are happening.
Right. Okay.
Okay, folks, this is a fascinating beginning to what's going to be a really interesting journey through the far reaches of the unknown. We'll have more with Dennis Stamey and Tim Swartz and Gene, what's his name? You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. A Georgia grand jury is expected to begin hearing the case against former President Trump as early as Monday. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution says former Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan confirmed that he is scheduled to testify on Tuesday. At least 80 people have been killed on Maui as search and rescue operations continue in the resort town of Lahaina. The Kremlin claims Russian forces downed 20 Ukrainian drones over its annexed territory in Crimea. The drone strikes follow similar attacks on Moscow. Plenty of cheers in Western New York on Saturday as Buffalo Bills defensive back Damar Hamlin returned to the football field. Hamlin, who suffered a cardiac arrest during a Monday night football game earlier in the year, played his first game in the Bills' preseason opener. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We don't want to pretend here, by the way, folks, that the voice of Tim Schwartz is paranormal, created by our collective unconscious, more like a collective nightmare. Is that right, Tim?
No, everything's fine, Gene.
Oh, that's good. Dennis, we're having a fascinating discussion here, and part of it, of course, is due to the book that he wrote with his kids, Mysterious Snipers, Slashers, and Animal Rippers, A History of Paranormal Assailants. So, to kind of put a resemblance of my process with yours, Dennis, my son Grayson has written stuff with me. And he started doing it when he was like 12 or 13. He was a pretty good writer, by the way. He's not doing that much of that kind of thing anymore. But we actually wrote books together. So I understand what happens here. But are your kids actively interested in these subjects, or were they just kind of helping you out here?
Well, they're helping me out. My daughter loves the paranormal. So she might get mad if I tell you this, but she had a sleep paralysis episode of that and saw a shadow person. He came up to her, and she said it was stabbing her with a toothpick. She could feel the pinpricks. Of course, that's not a trick of the mind. But stuff like this can evolve into an alien abduction. Maybe one day she'll think she's been abducted. But, yeah, she's interested in the paranormal. My son's more interested in girls and football. And after I wrote the book, I lost interest again. Let me give a timeline, okay? I got into UFOs in 1966, about when the big flaps started. Saw a UFO magazine on the newsstand, bought it, read through it, and I started getting more and more interested. Started buying Saga and Argosy. Started buying books, a member of Syrian Press, Gray Barker, bought his books. Then I started reading John Keel, got interested in his stuff. I became a printout. Remember those little mimeograph publications?
Do I remember mimeographs? I don't know if people today remember mimeographs, but I know a lot of schools had them. You know, they have to distribute something and make copies. They didn't have photocopy machines. They had mimeographs. And mimeograph, you use a little thing called a stencil. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that was a kind of sheet of paper where when you type on it, it makes an impression. And the ink goes through that impression. And that's how you make a printed product. Now, I went through that, believe me. And typing on a mimeograph stencil was horrendous. As you probably have used one. It was horrendous. I did several magazines that way. And then I said, I've got to find money for a place that would actually print my magazines. I couldn't do it that way anymore. Even though I had to spend, you know, a lot of money. It's a lot cheaper than having this device in one's house. It gets kind of messy, though, with the ink. My mom didn't like that at all.
My mom didn't either.
Great insane minds think alike. Tim, I'm sure you have 1,000 questions. Why don't you pick up?
No, I was just thinking myself. Our middle school used to do the school newspaper that way, and I always remember the smell the copies had.
Oh, yeah, really?
When they came out. It was intoxicating in a weird chemical way.
Really? Get high off that stuff,
I can't imagine Gene trying to do magazines or fanzines. Using something like that.
You know, the advantage of these little publish-your-own mimeograph zine, as I call them, you could exchange it for other, you send to another publisher, so to speak, and they'd send you theirs. That way you could keep up on all the publications that were going on.
And now, I should mention before we go on here, there was a kind of a similar device called a spirit duplicator. If you remember, the print was like in purple or something like that, as I recall. Is that correct, Tim? Purple?
Oh,
print?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's where I think the odor came from. The spirit duplicator was the one that produced the odor, not so much the mimeograph.
Yeah.
So the mimeograph just simply messed up your surroundings.
Oh, really?
Now, I remember illustrations, too, for the mimeograph. Didn't you have to do those backwards?
You know what I did? I kind of cheated there, where I used a mimeograph for standard pages with text. And then when I wanted a picture, an illustration, I went to the local printer or copy center and had them do it for me. I wasn't going to play with that. No, I understand what you're saying. I would not play with that. It was bad enough to use the stencil.
I think my first issue was Xeroxed. I got Xeroxed my first issue of my first, I call it Spacecraft Review. Kind of borrowing from Howard Bender's publication. I remember going to have it Xeroxed, and I gave it to this lady. Some office, she looked at it like I was crazy. She said, okay, you know. I think it was two pages. Then I bought a mimeograph. My parents bought me a mimeograph machine and started churning out stuff on that. I kept that through the 70s.
Well, Dennis, I'm curious. What do you remember what articles you wrote for Jeans magazine?
Oh, God. I'm trying to forget. God. It was like metaphysics. I was in my metaphysical mystic period. And I think I devised this theory of the collective conscious, collective psyche during that time, because it's coming back to me now. They were horrible. But you know what? I met, through those articles, I started corresponding with Richard Shaver. And that went on for like a year. And if I had a dime for every time he called me an idiot, I could retire. He was a very grouchy old fella. He was interesting, very articulate, but always, you could not question his beliefs. He was in those caves, and which he wasn't.
Well, that's interesting about that. I interviewed Ray Palmer once. That famous interview I did at his house in Amherst, Wisconsin. And he said when Shaver thought he was in the caves, he was in a mental institution.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, yeah, that's the concept of the underworld is another. It also fit within the definition of personal paranormal experiences because I'm reading The Trickster and the Paranormal by George P. Hansen, which I recommend highly. There was some, I don't have the page number right now, but there's somebody in the military who was part of a organization that was doing research into UFOs. He kind of flipped out and started imagining underground UFO bases. But apparently he just went schizoid for a while. And yes, Shaver was a mental institution. I talked with a guy, you know the Brown Mountain Lights? Alan Greenfield went there, the Brown Mountain Lights.
You know what, I'll tell you that. I actually met Greenfield at one time to look at the Brown Mountain Lights. So I'll get into that story in our next segment, okay? We have Dennis Stamey. He is the author of Mysterious Snipers, Slashers, and Animal Rippers, A History of Paranormal Assailants. And as you see, he's not chasing after spaceships. E.T. is not amongst us, or at least he doesn't necessarily believe that. With Gene, Dennis, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Whoa.
Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, Mal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Ah, yes, the Brown Mountain Lights. I remember that time I had a Toyota Corona, kind of a turquoise blue car, four-seater car, black seats. And we took that all over the place until the engine was about to give out. This was the 1970 version of the car. And we met Greenfield in, I guess, North Carolina, that's correct. And we went to see, we wanted to see the Brown Mountain Lights. And I remember we were going to a place called, was it Weissman's View, Dennis?
What is it now? Which one?
Weissman's View. Was that?
Oh, yeah. That's where I was. That's the overlook where I looked for the lights and never appeared. Yeah, there's a, you can see the lights of Morganton like a mirage. I thought those were the lights, but people said, no, that's not it. The lights will dance along the side of the mountain. Those aren't the lights. But they're a mirage, which is weird.
Do you remember Ralph Lael, Dennis?
That's the guy I talked with. He also has an underworld type story. Yeah, I talked to him, and his story matches that of the medieval fable about Tannhäuser, except instead of going to some underworld realm, he went to Venus. But it matches closely that myth, that fable, and how he, I don't understand how, I didn't know about Tannhäuser, the myth. I still, even though I have a master's degree in medieval history, I still didn't know about it until I looked it up about a year ago. And how he could find details about that. Well, I guess he could have, but I'm doubtful. And, but there are other cases. Now, the Manson family, Charles Manson envisioned through his LSD trips that there was an underworld. They were going to retreat into that during the helter-skelter race war. And there's other examples. And, of course, Beowulf. There are many other examples. But like I said, I still put the concept of the underworld as a personal paranormal experience. And, no, I don't believe in a hollow earth or anything like that. I was in Scotland. I was staying at a farm near Pitlochry where there are all sorts of ancient monuments. There's even a miniature Stonehenge, which is about maybe 15 feet in diameter. I used to go off during the day and hike around the whole of the farm. I would eat my lunch at this stone circle. But someone had stolen the center stone. Probably thought it was magical. But anyway, there is a mound. They show me a mound. They call it the fairy mound, which is hollow. You can stomp your foot on it, and it's hollow. And the area is fairly level, but this just juts out of the ground. And it's probably maybe 15 feet tall. You had to climb up it. But then I was walking around the area and stopped on the foot. It seems like the whole area is hollow for maybe 100 feet around. So I don't know if this is a grave of a Celtic chieftain or what. But yeah, there are hollow, you know, the hollow mounds are supposed to be a myth. No, they're real. There are hollow mounds. Who created them, I have no idea. But,
well, if you look, Dennis, at not only mythology, but even more recent, you know, personal examples of people who have had weird experiences, you'll find that there seems to be two experience types. And I'm really just making it down to black and white because there are gray areas as well. You know, people are either taken up into the sky or they're taken underground. And you hear the same kinds of stories from 1,000 years ago, and you're hearing them today, who people who claim to have had, you know, UFO experiences or, you know, similar weird events.
Yeah, I have a book, The Fairy in Celtic Countries, and there are many tales about people being taken into the hollow hills, to the mountains, to an underground realm by the fairy folk, the gnomes, elves, whatever. And yeah, this is analogous to the alien abduction stories or the contactee stories, where instead of under the earth, they're taken to other planets. Yeah, but again, it falls within the personal paranormal experiences. And can I say something about UFO, about the UFO movement? May I?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, first off, I don't believe in UFOs per se. I don't believe in Roswell. I think it was nothing but a mogul balloon. I don't believe that the government there's a conspiracy by the government to suppress evidence. I think there is classified stuff that they haven't released, but there's no bodies. We hear this, we're hearing this now from David Grush. We're in the congressional hearings, which are coming down to nothing. He can't give proof. They can't seem to find evidence that there is conspiracy, you know, and it seems like the ufological movement is about to implode. Now, the current crop of, you remember ufology back from the 60s, we were a bit more open-minded. I don't think we had an agenda, really, did we? I mean, we weren't trying to push for any kind of, we didn't have a solid belief system, really. We were a PO'd at the Air Force for not investigating UFO reports, but they didn't have time. You know, somebody sees a light, strange light in the sky. What are they going to do about it? Just go. They don't have time to investigate. They don't have the resources. That I understand. But the current crop of ufologists, I call them the nuts and bolts ufologists, who believe in Roswell because of the X-Files, because of the Stanton Friedman book, they believe UFOs are extraterrestrial, that the government is hiding bodies, helpless garbage, and they have a belief system. It's like this guy who wrote the bad review. He is obviously a ufologist. My book was not written for ufologists. It was written for Fordians. And Fordians are a bit more open-minded. They're better educated. They have this Kurt Vonnegut idea that the universe is a joke. They have no agenda, no real belief system. Ufologists today, oh yeah, they got a belief system. you attack their belief system, which I did in my book. Oh yeah, they're ready to fight. You know, the gloves come on. I remember not long ago, I think it was last week, this girl on some UFO Facebook page said that the Sumerians, or the ancient civilization of Sumer, was given writing by the aliens because the Sumerians were stupid and they didn't know, they had invented anything, but suddenly they had writing. I told her, listen, I have an MA in medieval ancient history. Sumerians were the most inventive civilization on the planet. They invented writing, math. Of course, probably the Chinese and the Yellow River probably invented writing and math at the same time. But they gave us the chariot. Gave us the chariot, irrigation canals, mass-produced bricks, mass-produced pottery. Extremely inventive. I said, lady, you need to, instead of going to these, and she gave me a weird reply. It's like she'd been disoriented by what I said, because I gave her a belief system, a sharp right uppercut, and she didn't know how to respond to that. And I said, listen, get your information from, if you want to find out about ancient history, read what the experts have written. Don't go to these crackpot UFO sites.
Hey, we got more with Dennis Stamey, with Gene Steinberg and Tim Swartz. A reality check about ancient astronauts. So much more to go. You're in
the Pericast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.